Father, we thank you that we can gather and pray, and we thank you for that great gift of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for your word, which shows us how you prayed. And Lord, as we look again this morning at this great prayer for us, really, it's the disciples, but now we are your disciples. And so the prayer is for us as well. In John 17, so open our eyes to what you would have us to see in the verses this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be in John 17, verses 11 to 16, and the word world is used 10 times in those verses as Jesus is praying for his disciples. So I thought we could sing a stanza of Take the World, but Give Me Jesus, 227. 227. 227. Take the world, but give me Jesus, all to joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Last verse. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Well, as we look at John 17 once again, we're going to look at a few more verses of it today. And as we had mentioned earlier, the first five verses, Jesus is really praying to the Father about himself. And then verses 6 through 19, he's praying about the disciples, his disciples who were with him at that time. But I really believe there's application here for us as well, because are we not now his disciples too? And the basic thrust of the prayer in this section of verses 6 through 19 are really, as he goes, as we'll see again today, he's not praying for the world, he's praying for his disciples. He's not praying for the world of the unbelievers, he's praying for believers in this particular prayer. Now, he does pray for the world here in before we're done here, but in this section, you remember last week he said, I pray for these, I do not pray for the world. So today, follow along as we read verses 11 through 16. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So as we look at those verses, it's undeniably that the world is in every one of those verses. So we have Jesus praying I in every verse, pretty much, I think. And we have world here in every verse 10 times in this section. So what does it really mean? Well, in verse 11, he says, now I'm no longer in the world. Now, at that moment, he still is in the world because he hasn't been resurrected and ascended into heaven yet. But his work on the world, redemptive work in the world, is done. And he's leaving the world. He's going to be with the Father. But he has compassion, we see, on the disciples who are still in the world. So, John 17:11, now I no longer am in the world, but these are in the world. Speaking of us, speaking of his disciples at that time, but now he's speaking of us as well at this time, I would think. So, I think we have license to look at these disciples as ourselves. So, John 17:11, these are in the world, and I come to you. Now he addresses Father as Holy Father. He addressed him earlier in verse 3 as O Father. He's going to be addressing him again as, in verse 21, as You Father. Verse 24 is Father, and then 25 is O Righteous Father. All perfect addresses by God to God, by the Son of God to God the Father. I come to you, Holy Father. And here is the first petition, basically, of three here. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name, or keep in your name, those whom you have given me, what? That they may be one as we are. That's the first major petition in this section. And wouldn't you know it, every one of these petitions he's going to pray for are the things that we have trouble with. The first one is unity. Unity among believers. Now, does anybody doubt that we have problems with unity among the believers? Absolutely a big problem, isn't it? The biggest, one of the biggest problems in the church. It's certainly one of the biggest problems in the mission field. The number one reason for people leaving the missions field is they can't get along with one another. It's not the enemy. It's not even the unbelievers. It's the believers. They can't get along with one another. But here Jesus is praying to the Father. And, you know, they were always quarreling, weren't they? I mean, they're quarreling here to the end. Who's going to be in the right hand? Who's going to be in the left hand? Aren't they? So it's appropriate, because he knows us so well, but it's appropriate here. His first petition in this little section is, now keep in your name, or through your name, and it is the name, the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty name of God, that we have victory over Satan, is it not? In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan must what? Flee. He must yield. And so we have in his mighty name all kinds of power. So he's saying, keep through the power of your name, or in your name, those whom you have given me, the disciples. And the result of that is that they may be in unity. What kind of unity? The same unity as the Father and the Son. That's perfect unity, isn't it? So that's his prayer for us right here in this room, that we would be united perfectly with the unity that the Father has with the Son. Pretty good prayer, isn't it, to have God praying for us in that regard? Now in verse 12, he goes ahead to say, while I was with them in the world during these years here on earth, I kept them in your name, or I kept them through your name. So he's just asking the Father earlier to do what he's been doing, of keeping them in the Word, keeping them in his name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept. None of them is lost. None of the disciples were lost during the time that Jesus was with them here on earth, except Judas Iscariot. And he's called the son of perdition here, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Jesus knew all along, of course, that Judas would betray him. And yet he showed him love. He washed his feet. He did everything with Judas, apparently, that he did with all the other disciples. But Judas never turned, never made it. Now we have another petition in verse 13, the second petition. But now I come to you, and these I speak in the world. The disciples who are in the world, or that would be for us as well, I would believe, what? That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Isn't that a great prayer of God for you and for me, that we would have his joy fulfilled in himself? If you turn back just a chapter or two, to John 15, in John 15, verse 9 to 11, he says pretty much the same thing. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. How is your joy? How is your joy in the Lord? Of course, we can all say, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, that's pretty easy to say, particularly when things are going well. When things aren't going so well, it's a little harder, isn't it? So the joy of the Lord actually should be steady in our lives, not based on the circumstances that we're in, but on what he's done for us and the position that we have, particularly the eternal position that we have. I mean, life here on earth is so short. So if you suffer every day of your life here on earth, it's still so short compared to what he has in store for us. So we want to remember that he's praying for us that we may have his joy fulfilled. That means abounding more and more. Is the joy of the Lord abounding more and more in you, or is it flat? Or is it, God forbid, going down? Did you have more joy in the Lord 5 years ago than you do today, or 3 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 40 years ago, however long it's been since you came to the Lord? I pray that, that joy should be growing, because our walk with the Lord should be growing. Our faith should be growing, because do we not have a dossier of successes of the Lord carrying us through more and more and more the further we walk with him? When we first came, we said, oh, I'd like that joy of the Lord. But when we first came to the Lord, we were like romantic puppy love. We didn't have a clue what was going on, did we? I mean, it's like you guys meeting that high school girl or whatever, and she's an angel. You've never seen such a perfect angel in your life, right? Well, you don't even know who that angel is, and you recognize, if you get to know her, that she's not an angel at all, right? But as we come to the Lord and we have our sins forgiven, and it's great and it's glorious and it's wonderful, but we haven't been through trials and difficulties. We haven't seen him deliver us. We haven't seen him carry us through these waves that are crashing over us and threatening to exterminate us. But as we see his faithfulness, it seems to me our joy should be abounding more and more. And that's what he's praying for here. Now, he says in 14, I have given them your word. And we praise him for that. And the world has hated the disciples, the believers, because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So as a believer, you know, our objective should not be to be man of the year on Time magazine. Our objective should not be favored by the world and loved by the world, should it? It should be true to the Lord. And they hated him, so they'll hate us. And then verse 15 is the third petition in this section. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Very similar instruction that he gave to the disciples in the model prayer, did he not? Lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from the evil one. The same thing he's saying here, you should keep them from the evil one. So he's saying, in effect, the same thing we read in Hebrews, where it says we're to go outside the camp and suffer his reproach, right? We're to be witnesses, we're to be salt, we're to be light, we're to be spreading his word, because that's the reason we're still in this world, right? Otherwise, he'd take us home. But he's got things for us to do here. So he says, I don't pray that you should take the disciples out of the world. I'm leaving them, but they are to stay and be disciples. They're to stay and spread the gospel. And how that was done, wasn't it? Paul later writes, and about 30 years later, the gospel has gone around the world in those 30 years through the power of the Spirit. We know that Thomas and some of his followers went to India and all the way that way. And so they did spread the gospel during their years on earth, and that's why they were there. So you're here on earth. You know, if you weren't, you wouldn't be here this morning. So what did you do this week? Did you do any good work? Did you let your light shine? Did people know that you're of the Lord, and that his word was being exemplified through you, that you were that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him this week? I pray so. And then finally, verse 16, just saying it again, as believers are like our Savior, they are not of the world. The believers, the disciples, are not of the world, what? Just as I am not of the world. So I think we need to have our touch with the world as light as possible. We're here. We don't want to escape and be buried so low that the world never sees us. We don't want to become like the world. We don't want to become defiled by the world, but we want to, as Jesus did when he touched the leper. Jesus was not defiled, but Jesus delivered the leper, right? So let your light shine and know that he's praying for you. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for these verses. We thank you for the intercession for us. And Lord, you show us in this prayer and others how to pray for others. Because here you're praying entirely in this section of prayer for us. First few verses were for yourself, but all of these verses we're looking at today and those last week were for others, for us. And so now we have that opportunity to thank you. We have that opportunity to pray as a group here led by your Spirit. We want to intercede, meaning we want to pray for others. And so, Lord, lead us and teach us now in this time of prayer. And may we be united, Lord, in one accord by your Spirit as we pray, as prompted by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.